session number 16715, John Jarvis, Reel 11.
Mr. Jarvis, Reel 11. You were talking about being in this first village, Mr. Jarvis, and having to go in the mountains and the arrival of the Germans. What happened next?
Oh, well, they came and they manned all the strategic points in the bridges, you know. You see, the part of the country where I was at, the roads went through the mountains and steep sides like that, like ravine sides, the river, the road, and the mountains. Well, across this river, at about 3 points, there's big main bridges. See, and these roads led into Austria, north of Yugoslavia, you know. Or even you could go across them and go switch over to Switzerland, you know, and them places, up into high countries. And they're the only roads over, see, up the coast road. And, of course, there must have been of some value to the Germans because they manned them. And they put a platoon on the main bridge, you see. And the population, the people that lived there, naturally, they were very frightened, you know, because they were harbouring there. There were six of us, like, in different locations, you know, within a half a mile of each other, sort of style. And they got scared. So I went to them. You know, I call this bloke Mino. It's short for Jim Mino, Jacob Mino. And I went to him and I said, well, what's the position, mate? And he says, I'm sorry, he says, but if I was you, I'd go in the mountains. He says, you're no longer safe here, you know. He says, you've had a good spell and now's the time. Either go in the mountains or go on your road down with it. He said, I can tell that the English are not, Americans are not advancing the way we thought. And it could be a while before they get here. Oh, I said, that's terrible, that. But he says, you go and join the partisans, and he says, if you like, he says, I'll bring the man down to see you. You know, they're in the mountains. I said, well, that's good. Well, I don't think the others was very keen of it. I don't think they were keen as what I was like. Once I got out of prison camp, I said, well, this time, then I'm going back no more. What the hell is that? They're not going to starve me and bait me about it. I'm going to stop out. I'll get myself a gun and if they're better than me, that's good. So I says, I'll go. And my little mate, this lad, this Jimmy, he was weak and he wasn't in very good health. So well, and I says, why? He went like the base camp in the mountain. Say, we lived in caves. See? And he was like in the base caves. And he never did know where he worked, no, nothing. He was just more or less surviving until the Americans came.
How was the initial contact made with the partisans?
Through this main road.
And he brought this chap down to see you, did he?
Yeah. Oh, he's over the moon, he'd take us. Oh, hell, aye. Yeah, over the moon. But I wouldn't have the, he had a Italian rifle he gave us. I said, I don't want that. I want something that's good.
So he came down and he talked to you?
Yeah. Invite us.
What did he look like? Can you describe him?
Oh, he never had a shave for 3 or 4 years, and, you know, and never had his hair cut for 10 years, and he had an alpine cap on like mine, and he was a rough, bigger, and he was a native, you know, you can know them by the dialect, just same as we know a Scots person, or a Geordie, or a Cockney. I knew by his dialect, because by then I was picking up the language smashing. I'll tell you later, I got on with a girl who was she had something to do with the university. I don't know whether she was studying language or what she was studying. But her brother, he was also, went to university for some reason or another. And his one ambition was to go to America. See? And he wanted to learn how to talk English. See? And I wanted to learn how to talk Italian, so that was champion. But the trouble was, he was that keen, And it was that odd job for me to try. Of course, I haven't got teaching capabilities, you know. I found out I didn't even know my own language, you know. And he did. He wanted everything perfect, you know. And he had a hell of a lot of trouble with pronunciation, you know. And I sort of did 4 hours some days with him. And I seemed to get on better with Italian than what he got on with English. I had a hell of a lot of trouble convincing him that English was harder to learn what Italian was. He knew what the finish it was like, you know, but he never he didn't seem to improve. We had, you know, through being with him and his sister, I learned how to write. Because I remember one of the lads come to me, he'd been going with this girl, this Italian girl, and he wanted me to write a letter. So I said, you tell us what to put in, I'll write it, and I wrote it. And I sort of, you know, after that, I sort of had books and I used to start and write it.
Can we come back to your initial meeting again? Did this chap come on his own?
Oh, yeah.
Why, what, who were the partisans?
Ah, well, this is a question. You see, at that time, I thought everybody was like me. Everybody was conscientious and they were wanting to fight to save the country from the Germans. Now, when I got with the partisans, I found out it wasn't so. See, they weren't like conscientious people at all. They were the politicians. See, every day they had what they call the ordre politico. For one solid hour, they were brainwashed. They were communists. Hammer and sickle, big red tie with a hammer and sickle on. Which I vexed them straight away because I wouldn't wear one. See, and the girl I was knew very well, like she used to look after us. She made us a blue one, a little Leonian jack on, little thing it was. And that's.
What was this, a scarf or a tie?
What they call a bandera. Bandera, you know, it's like a. You know, you've seen them on the picture with a bandera, like a big tie and a tight bucket, and it comes down here.
And there's
with a red with a big almond sickle on. Well, mine was democratic blue with a little Leonian jack on.
Did they think that because you were from a working class background, you should have been a communist?
No.
They didn't put any pressure on you to change?
No, that was maybe the point. You've got maybe the point there. They didn't think I was from a working class background. They thought I was capitalist. They thought that my family was independent, you know. And if I tried to explain conditions in England, they used to they thought the Indians was our servants and the black people and this. And the Welsh and the Irish and them, but the English, no, they're all officers. They are running about with push cars and officers. So I said, oh, the hell with them. I was invited out. When I was in the village, I just get invited out for dinner probably 3-4 times a week. I mean, proper dinner, proper, you know.
To people in the village? To the homes?
Bungalows, really smashing palatial places. Rich people. People had money, you know. And I used to go dinner at that sort of style. You know, set off with soup and then the main course and then sweet and biscuits and coffee and finish up with a cigar. You know, maybe 4 times a week. And they used to be so anxious to please us, you know. And they were real good people, them, but they were, before the war, they were two-car family people.
What was their attitude towards Mussolini and their leader at that time?
Why, you say I'm talking now about Northern Italy. No, as you get farther down south, the Mussolini's people, I would suppose. But it was the Northern Italians that killed Mussolini, you know. He killed just outside of Milan. Not so very far away from where I was at the time. He wouldn't be very far away from me. He was escaping into Germany.
So he wasn't well thought of in the north?
Well, you know, basically the Italian people liked to be on the winning side. You know, when the Germans was winning, why they went with the Germans. And so as the young start to win at the English, they'll swap over. As I said before, I don't think they in love we were. I've seen 2 British soldiers with 10,000 prisoners, then I was just walking along the road. I couldn't believe my eyesight, then I was. But it's the, apart from that, they've got the same feeling for the country as what a real Englishman has, a British person has. They're different, yes.
So the chap came to see you, this
yeah.
partisan. Did he take you away straight away? You went off with him straight away?
No, let's get this straight from the very first moment that he come for us. And I was only, 23? I was bus. I wouldn't do what he told us. You know. In fact, I could have took the battalion over if I wanted to. But there was I let them know straight away I was going with him on my terms, like, you know. I know there was lots of things that I wasn't going to say. I was going to be committed and I wouldn't say.
So what were your terms? What did you tell him you would do?
I didn't want them, her and me, to go on a political basis to shoot somebody or something like that. I was an ape man, you know. I didn't want nothing to do, and I laid it down, I want nothing to do politically. I'm here, two reasons. One because I'm a soldier, another one because I want to survive. Merely I want to survive. If a German gets me road, I'll shoot him. But if a civilian gets me road, I don't want nothing to do with him. I said, they were anti-fascist. Fascist were like the Labour parties in England. There's a hell of a lot of women and kids and young people, and they thought it was the end of all ends. Fascism was going to change the whole world. I have nothing against them. They are that order political and things like that. They thought that after the war they'd take the country over, which the damn well nearly did, you know. But that was the idea, was to train people to take different areas over. So No, I didn't want nothing to do with that, and I told him so. And I says, if there's anything political, you keep it away from me, as when the Yanks get here, or the British get here, or the Russians get here, even. I says, I'll report everything you do. So don't beat about the bush now. I'm coming to you, but I'm coming to you on the grounds that I'm a soldier, not a politician. Or they come ask me to give a speech one day to them, I wouldn't see them.
So they accepted that fact? You were going basically to fight with them.
Mm-hmm.
Had they just been fighting against their own Italian fascists in the course of the time they were there?
Yeah. Odd times we'd ever go to patrol. Then I'd go then. I went 2 or 3 times after patrol.
They took you up into the hills.
Mm-hmm.
What did you find when you got there? What was the situation?
Well, it was terrible. It was disorganized. I tell you, it was 100% political. You know, there's lads had girls there, and they'll just use it as a buffer sort of style. And I think it was a shambles, a real, real shambles. And really speaking, it wanted squaring up. And the first night I stepped there, and I stepped next 2 yards off this high turning, and I kept looking at them. And they all sure, you know, they all sure, and he had his banderas, rifle bullets and that. Automatic rifle, pistol on each side, and this is Stephen. British hand grenades around his belt. I know a little, I was in the infantry, I know a little bit about British hand grenades. I've thrown them and then I was seeing what they can do to people. So I couldn't tackle them straight away, but the next morning I got up, say Italian was our international language, and only the Italians in the band could speak Italian better than what I could.
So it was a mixed band?
Oh, yes.
Who was in it? French?
Germans, Austrians, Russians.
Germans in it?
Well, isn't aware, like that. I'll tell you about them later if you want to know about that. But
yes, it'd be, you know, just to get a picture.
Yeah, well, without search, aye. And we once had a South African lad. I don't know whether he escaped from some camp or... There were a couple of air-type blokes. I didn't know where they come from, but they wouldn't listen to me, so I never bothered them.
So your next morning you say you tackled this chap. What did you do?
I tackled him about the hand grenades. Eh? I said, I then primed. He didn't know what I was talking about. So he's illiterate, you know. So I said, let me see one place. And at first he was going to give us 3 half of what he had. Put on belt. You know, he was telling us to put them on my belt. No, I said, I just want to look at one. And I got it and I took the bottom off and it was fine. And I believe it was a 7 second detonator. So that meant 1, 2, 3, 4, five, six. There wouldn't have been nobody left in that cave. Oh, and I went bloody hell, tell them all the bloody lot. And, they agreed with this. You know, in future they'd be more careful. I said, get the detonators to out, put them in a box. When you go out and patrol, put the buggy back in. I'll set up for that. But as I'm sleeping in here, we people that... Have you seen what one of them can do? So I got them all together, and there was about 40 of them. I took them down to the river. I found this hand grenade. I said, get down. I just touched them, and I go down, and the fish, and the pebbles, and the bloody lot come up. They were careful with them after that. All right. They didn't know, you know. They were really illiterate. They were pretty ignorant. Anyway, we squared them up, sort of style, and the first time we'd come to go out on this dough, bit of a dough we had, this bearded fella, he used to flit about from camp to camp, you know, giving them bits of talk. And I believe he was a politician himself, like, I don't know. He says, there's this German convoy, like a German patrol, goes through the mountains. And I says, how far away? Oh, he says, because I didn't want them too near the village. Reprisal, as you say. And that village had been going to me, and I promised I wouldn't do nothing detrimental to the village. You know, if you went further afield towards Yugoslavia, they could always say, well, it was Yugoslavian partisans that was doing it. Because when I fired off the bird at times, the Yugoslavian bird. In fact, I was over two or three times, isn't that? When we got chased. What I challenged us to call a rustic lamento. That's when the imported these 5,000 white Russians. They changed sides, you know. And that they sent them in Italy, the Yugoslavian border, to take over the area and wipe all the party hands out. 5,000, I think it was. Anyhow, they took the area over, I think. I don't know. I know once we had two or three bits of scars on, like, you know, we did a bit.
So you went out on this particular action?
Aye, for sure. Aye.
What happened?
Well, the first time, he wanted me to take charge of it. And I knew what that meant, like, you know. Nobody will fire until you fire. I said that meant I had to go to the nearest point. And I would take the leader, you know, and they would. And mind, I only had, let me say, and I'll be quite frank, 60 men, 3 heavy braided machine guns, automatic rifles, hand grenades, everything you can mention, and there were 60 of us, and there was 8 in the patrol. I go down the back of this rock about 10 yards off the road. I'll take the marshal in front. I got up, and just as I was going to fire, I had this bloke along the road, you know, going, Bobby, Tedeschi, Bobby, and they all started shouting. I said, what the hell is them? They were shouting, telling them to go home. We opened fire, I opened fire, and I opened them up and fire. And I ended up with the marshal's revolver, and I pinched his butanol.
You'd killed a few.
Them at the back end of the patrol, they shouldn't have gotten off, but they got off with these. We were shouting, you know.
Who was this that was shouting? Villagers or what?
The partisans, it had to be Italians. They get worked up, you know. They'd been sitting waiting all day, and just before they got exactly where I wanted them, I'll burst out and they're shouting, Bobby, go home, you know.
Go home to Germany.
I thought to myself, bloody hell, what have I let myself in for? If I'd only had a platoon of Durhams, I could have changed the real lot out. And that way, anyway, there were 60 of us. And next time I turned round and looked round, there was only me there. And took 3 days to catch up with them. Yeah, look at that.
You say it took 3 days to catch up with them. What do you mean? You were following?
What a lot of people doesn't understand, the Italian people, there were partisans at night time and they were working throughout the day. They were seeing the guns and the red banderas and this. in the mountains, then go down and cut wood and mess on through the day, and soon it comes night time, they swoop the only farmers on and go bullying about like they were gangsters, they were really mafia type people, you know, they were real. To me, they were gangsters, like, you know.
Where had they got the weapons from? Do you know where they were coming from?
Well, you know, the Italian army jacked in, you know, when the Germans come down, and they'd get a little bit there, I suppose. I would never have a I would never have an Italian rifle. Many rubbish there, you know, little way British cutty ass things, no good. Automatic rifle. It was good up to 40 yards, 35, 40 yards. After that, it wasn't it. Wasn't much good for mountain fighting, then, but it was good for across the land. Then later on, I got one of them boot pistols. And did they say, ever say them German pistols used to detach the boot? And us, and carry it was a pistol, and but to put this boot on, you could put your shoulder, and it become hard about it. I got one of them, and but the biggest pass of the bloody lot was that we did had a drop, just farther over the next bit range of mountains, which was probably Yugoslavia to me. Like there was one day in Yugoslavia, next day in Italy, they dropped this stuff.
Who'd done the drop?
Well, it must have been the British or the Yanks or because I'll tell you the truth, I was looking for the one that could get the oxygen drop some money. And money was still valuable up there. You could go out and buy beasts, you know, because the feeding problem was there again, you know what I mean? They dropped it, anyway, the one that we got, it was Sten Gunners. I know I'd never saw a Sten gun in my life before. And when I looked at them, I thought to myself, they keep saying, Tommy gun. I said, no, that's not a Tommy gun. Sten gun. There's only a Sten gun. And you know, I thought they'd get them out of Woolworths. I thought they were toys, you know. And the Yugoslavians keep saying, oh, we'll go out and try them. I said, you can go out and try them, aren't you? I would never want, like, the terrible bleeding things. The first lot they come out saying once, they just say, I don't know, they're not going to come out. I stuck them down, my mate and me. But the lads went out and tried them, they couldn't hit the barrel from 10 yards. But they'd also dropped mortars. No, this word come that I had to go to this camp and learn them out the under the French mortar, you know. And I went over and I said, well, the best way to handle it is to take it out and fire it. You know, I'll show you how to fire it. Could he get us a target? Like, they'd fire it that night now. What do you mean, a target? Well, I said, you know, this. Well, some Germans just want to blow them up. Ooh, we know just the place. This place, the Germans was in this, what once been a storehouse, a church, but the big head, there's about 40 of them in there. That's where they slept at. I said, that's the hood. And this Yugoslavian man, he'd had experience in the artillery, you know, and he could lure me mountain post out and act as a forward post. Okay? So we took the gun out night time, murder, and I laid the gun onto the aiming post that he'd put me in, and the others were done with the bombs, isn't it? And I laid it, and I put the barrel in, the tripod, everything, ready to fire. So I said, gun ready, and the Yugoslavian lad said, right, fire. So I got the bomb and I fired it, see? Boom, off it went. And I waited for him giving us instructions, you know, down up. Down 50 yards, 50 metres, whatever it was, 50. So I downed a bit, looked round and there's a neighbour over there. They buggered off there, I buggered off and left it. So I had to get the bomb myself and put it in, and I fired about maybe 5-6 bombs myself. And the worst part was it, was when the Yugoslavian come back, I said, we mean you can't see that. Where the other? I said, come. The only man him left. So I took the sights off and I hidden them and I took the barrel and dusted down in a ravine somewhere, and he took the tripod, and we left the base plate in the ground. And that's what he started then, because we could hear them, you know.
So they weren't as efficient with their weapons as they appear to be.
Well, it was left. They weren't worth that, honestly. The Yugoslavians were. Oh, the great fighters, them. Oh, well. Why, aye. Just like old jocks, old island lads. They're really good fighters, aye. Huh? They were as good as any in the country, the Yugoslavians. With eye ties, they were too near home and too, you know, nothing at stake, you know, like we were fighting to survive, they were, and if they ever, they could go back home and start a civilian life tomorrow, you know. And they'd run away and left us, eh?
So had the Yugoslavs come across the border to join that group? Is that how?
Well, they did that. It just depends. If they were out, it said they were in a mountain and they were routed out by Rastrelamento, and they were routed out, they'd maybe come over for a month or two to things, quieten down, and maybe go back again. But we did get them, yeah. I had a mate, the Yugoslavian man. He's a good lad, man. A good fighter. Good lad. One of the best. Aye.
So you said you had Yugoslavians.
Uh-huh.
Italians, of course.
And French. A couple of French lads there. Oh, they got there now.
Were they French soldiers or French civilians or
they
what?
They must have been maybe displaced persons and run away for camp or something. I don't know what had happened, but they were French. No. Because I used to love to hear them talk, you know. I used to somebody occupying my mind, picking the phrases up they were, you know.
And you said that you had other Germans, you mentioned.
Austrian.
Austrian.
Mm. He was my Batman. he wouldn't leave me. I think he was a bit afraid they might bump him off sometime, you know. He didn't like the partisans. He was there. They took him prisoner, and when he come up the mountain, he come and sat next to me, and he said, help me, please, help me. And I thought, what's the matter with him? I said, what's the matter? In Italian, mate, you know. I thought, he was starting in Italian now. He says, they kill me. I says, no, don't be silly. I says, you're a prisoner. You're all right. You look over me. And I said, ah, yeah, I'll look after you. And that was it. I got answered. And he was a better soldier than what they were, I tell you now. He was all right. Yeah, he stuck with us. He stuck with us right till the Yanks come. And then you know what the Yanks did with him. They put him in a displaced person's camp with the Germans. I went and I played all the bloody hell, and the Brigadier General, he said, don't rush there, Tommy. I said, do you know what that lad's done for me one time or another? I said, my name has been bosom for 2 years. He's looked after me, he's carried me guns, he's a better soldier than me. And I said, you're putting him among them German lads. I said, they'll kill him. Can't do it. He says, you know, by rights. He says, I'm supposed to put you in there with them as a displaced person. I said, you're bloody well done. He looked at me and said, you're bloody well done. I says, I'll set World War III away if you put me in there. But he was a grand lad, that Austrian lad. But he was fighting all the time, fighting for his life. Because he did it, you know. He knew it, and I knew it. I didn't know it, but I jealous it. They were underhand political prisoners, and nothing to do with me. And especially the female type, you know. I don't know what they did with them, but I know they used to disappear and all that.
They took prisoners, the partisans.
The parties?
Sorry, they was the partisans taking prisoners?
Parties. Parties prisoners, yeah.
And that didn't make any difference whether it was male or female. They took them, and then you say they disappeared.
Uh-huh.
No, not where.
I guess many a time, but I wouldn't say.
They never told you what they were doing with them?
No, they kept me out the road. No, they were very wary about me at times. Very, very wary. You know. It's silly to say, but I think if I'd put a red neckerchief on, I'd have known more. But they were very wary. In fact, they didn't let me say, you know, even in that apart. They used to hide the guns, and they wouldn't let me, you know. They knew when the English or the Americans came that all them guns had to be turned over, you know. And they were storing them away for the day when the English and Americans would go on their uprising and take over the country. Now, see what I mean? That was the idea. They wanted to take all the country over. But they, apart from that, they were. Yeah, I've seen them come up, and I've asked questions. You know, maybe they shouldn't ask them, but I've said, well, what's them there? What's the idea of bringing them there? Because through the camp, you know, they've got a lot of women. You've got a lot of Yugoslavian women. You know, the villages have been done down and not people, displaced persons. Nowhere else to go. That you go there. You know what I mean? And of course, it was nothing fascist to see different faces every day, you know what I mean? But this fascist, they were very hard on them, and I didn't agree with that, like, and they know I didn't agree with it, you know.